It's Monday, 5:30 p.m., which can only mean one thing. Talking about practice starts now.
Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
That's right. You are listening to Talking About Practice. I'm one of your hosts today, Drew Gilbert. Alongside me, Noobs, Jonathan Newbear. Thank you, sir.
Dude, I love that intro. That is sick. I'm feeling it. That is awesome.
It's a good time, isn't it?
I like it. It's definitely a change of pace from John Lennon. I'll tell you that much.
Right? A little cold turkey. Yeah, not quite cold turkey here.
Yeah, not
it's like
same
hot pastrami, I feel. Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah, thank you.
That sultry voice you hear over there, Mr. Derek Ismaki.
What's good, everybody?
He's always here.
Yeah.
He held it down while I was out of town last week, so thank you, sir. Big thanks to DJ J Pounds for filling in for me. He was here.
Yeah, he was here. Yeah, he came a little late, so it was a nice little 10-minute segment of me just talking to myself, which was, I'm sure they found it riveting. You know, 10 minutes you'll never get back in your life.
I've had to do a half hour show with filling in for Jake once, and you were out of town, and I found out like 20 minutes before. And I was just like, all right, let's go. Anyway, good time. We also have Jaime, our trainee, in the building.
Hello, what's up, Jaime? Man? Glad to be back.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you.
Great, man. Thank you.
So, we do have a lot to discuss today. Football's coming back. Baseball, especially in the NL West, Dodgers, Giants, that not going great for the Giants, but very intriguing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's finally interesting now.
It's like, interesting,
yeah,
for
like,
sure.
Yeah, you can kind of get into baseball.
Yeah, and so we have all of that going on, but of course, we have to talk about what everyone's talking about, which is the Colin Kaepernick situation, issue. I don't even know where to begin here. I guess I'd like to start with you, Derek. When you first heard the story, what was your initial reaction? Let's just start there and kind of go around.
Initially, I found it, honestly, still kind of my initial reaction is the same reaction I have now. It's honestly not that big of a deal to me. I'm not going to be a person that's somehow offended because he didn't want to stand. The issue at hand is he didn't stand during the Star Spangled Banner when he was playing at the start of the 49ers game. And he wanted to do a silent protest for the injustice against minorities, in particular blacks and cops, that type of situation right now.
He basically, I believe the quote was, I'm not going to stand or a flag, or I'm not going to salute a flag for a country that oppresses black people.
Yes, yeah. So that was his protest against that, was to not stand for the anthem, which is commonly done so. It's kind of a commonplace that whenever it's played, we all take our hats off, stand, and show respect to it. And again, when it happened, I honestly, that's fine. You have that option to do so. Like, if we're telling people that you have to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, you might as well just stick guns on everyone and you know, that's just like you're forcing people at that point in time. That no longer is a choice that we have. And this country is one that prides ourselves in giving people choices, the option to say no, the option to stand up for something that you believe in. And he has every right to do this.
Or sit down, for that matter.
Or sit down, yeah. Right. Yes, and you have the option to, have your voice be heard in any way you can, and this is an act of speech on his behalf, not doing sitting down and staying quiet throughout that situation and talking about it afterwards.
Yeah,
and I think it's a great expression of our First Amendment rights, whether you agree with it or not. I'm all for his ability to do that.
Sure, Noobs.
I couldn't agree more. I just before I walked in here, I saw some tennis player at the U.S. Open called the actions quote pathetic. And I just, like, I can't wrap my head around this forced patriotism that we have in this country, where like if you're not a good little soldier and getting in line and saluting that flag and putting an American pin on your lapel, I mean, it's all just so disgusting to me. Derek just eloquently pointed out, the whole point of this country is freedom of expression, freedom of choice, freedom of speech. Okay, and part of that freedom of speech is, to me, not saluting a flag if you don't want to salute it. Mm-hmm. We have this idea in this country that the American flag is this sacred thing, that it's just to be, you know, regarded with such, you know, admiration. And let's be honest, it's a flag. You know, it's our flag. But, I mean, if you want to look at that thing and you want to look at it as representing freedom and liberty and justice, then you also have to look at that flag and look at it as a representation of slavery and genocide. Yes. Because the things that happened for this country to get to where it is today, millions of Native Americans were murdered.
Yeah.
Approximately 100 million, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and probably at least that many people were brought from Africa and made slaves. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is how we've gotten to where we are today. Okay, now thank God we abolished slavery, 150 years ago?
Yeah.
But I look around, I don't see very many Natives around. You know what I mean? So quite a very thorough job was done of pushing them basically into the sea or into the grave. And so, you know, we still have injustices on a daily situation. Unarmed young people, old people, people of color, and white people getting murdered by police officers.
Yes.
Murdered.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
And this has to stop. And it's like, you know, they say, to quote Bill Maher, he said, well, if you're going by the book, maybe it's time you rewrite the book. You know what I mean?
That's good stuff.
People are too quick to pull out a gun on a 12-year-old kid in Cleveland who's waving around a water pistol. You know what I mean? Like, either these guys aren't trained well enough, they're too scared, or they're sadistic. You know what I mean? And either way, like, this has got to change. So getting back, let me just, finish up. Getting back to Cap real quick, I absolutely have zero problem with it whatsoever. He's, you know, exercising his rights. And if we don't exercise our rights, then what is the point of having him? You know what I mean? And so he's, you know, in a line of like Abdul Rauf, I think.
Yep.
If I'm mispronouncing that, I'm sorry.
I'm sure that happens often.
Right. He played for
Mark Jackson.
Yeah. He played for Denver.
And there's been a few other guys. I mean, obviously Ali had his big thing with the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just something that people, if they feel that's what they need to do, then that's great. And Cap has a spotlight. And honestly, like, I was really never that big on him because I kind of thought he had an attitude with like other players and the coaches and stuff like that. But with what he's doing right now, my respect level has gone up for him quite a bit, because it takes guts to do something like that, to kind of go against the grain.
Almost, definitely.
And now we're having a discussion about it, and I think it's great, because this idea that we all just need to just stand up and salute, it's not right. Because if you're conscientious and you think about things and you understand like how deep and how many problems that we have and how they need to be addressed, then go ahead and sit down during the national anthem. Yeah, no problem with it.
Bomani Jones today wrote an excellent article in The Undefeated, and I can't recommend it enough. And to your point about the cops part, let me read a quote here that he says, the meat of the issue, in his words, Kaepernick declared that this country oppressed black people and its law enforcement officers killed black people with impunity, often receiving pats on the back for doing so. Both history and newspapers support his belief. We've seen Americans give from their own pockets to police officers known only for killing black teenagers. Even George Zimmerman took in hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations from strangers, and he wasn't even an officer of the law. To ignore the national anthem for those reasons is to challenge the very notion of what America is. It's to ask whether what he's fighting against is represented by the flag rather than thriving in spite of it. And I just thought that was really interesting, because there is a huge problem in our country with racism. And I think just recently it's been more brought to the forefront because of technology. We see it all the time. We're
slowly getting desensitized to what we see. That's exactly what's happening too.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's like with the YouTube videos and stuff getting streamed to Facebook live.
Yeah.
You know, like to your point, we are seeing it more.
Yeah.
So when you're able to get online and see it, like see these instances like one on top of another. You know what I mean?
It's one thing you also have to take into account too.
You can't hide from it as much anymore.
That's true.
Easy to shut your eyes.
And I mean, the media is very quick to put that stuff out there. Like that's the stuff that catches on really quick. So it's very easy for it to seem like it's happening all the time. And I think that's one thing we also have to take into consideration is
Absolutely.
The fact that it does truly get on the front pages all the time, and it seems like it happens a lot. But that's just what the news is putting out there at the time. And that's one thing we always have to keep in consideration of the frequency that's always going on with
YouTube, though. You can go deep down that rabbit hole, and you can find videos of stuff that the media doesn't want to show.
That's very true.
There's homeless people getting killed all the time. You know what I mean? Like they're shooting everybody.
It's a scary situation.
It's not just black people either. Sure. You know what I mean? Cops are like, and not to take away from that because that's an extremely important issue, but just cop violence on citizens is an issue.
Yes.
You know what I mean? White, black, old, young, you know what I mean? It's something like the police, we need to get back to an era of protecting and serving.
Mm-hmm.
Our police has gotten militarized. You know what I mean? They're actually taking Humvees and old military gear. And you look at pictures from riots and stuff in the 60s and the way the cops were dressed compared to the way they're dressed now. I mean, they're soldiers now. They're absolutely soldiers in full-on gear with assault weapons and stuff. And I'm not saying that they don't need to be protected because they do have a difficult job. But it's like when you put 42 bullets into some teenage girl's car.
Right.
It's like, really? Can't you shoot out the tires? Can't you go for the kneecap? You know what I mean? There's ways to do this without killing people. And I just feel like they don't.
And that's one thing that I take issue with often, too. To your point, before I hit that point, about this not always being a black or white issue, just in Paradise last year, that kid got shot, a white kid, 21 years old or something, crawling out of a car. His girlfriend or fiance, I believe, was tossed from the car and she was killed.
Yes, she was.
And the kid was crawling out of the car and for some apparent reason was shot to death.
Yeah.
And so this does happen to everyone. But again, there's four major media entities that control every news outlet, every major news outlet.
Yeah.
Thank God that we have, a YouTube, we have community radio, we have things off the map that we can talk about these issues.
Totally.
And they're
freely,
freely, no one's coming down and telling us we can't say this or can't say that or what we need to talk about. You know, we figure out what we're going to talk about minutes before the show.
Right.
But I do. There's so much to this issue. It's so much bigger than football. And that's what's part of what's interesting to me is Kaepernick has everything to lose by doing this.
Right.
You know, he has nothing to gain. And recently, Tom Brady did an interview where he had promptly posted various campaign promotion for Donald Trump in his locker. I don't know if you guys heard about this at all. And it was much more strategic than I think what Cap did. What Cap did, he did for a week and it wasn't even noticed. He did it for two preseason games and no one asked him about it. And in fact, only one reporter asked him about it this last time and then it became a big deal. So it's not, I struggled to find my own where I felt about this issue, and I talked to my grandmother about this at length last night. And one thing that she pointed out is, it's not that he was being disrespectful. He wasn't drawing attention to himself as the national anthem was going on. He wasn't acting a clown and intentionally saying, look at me, look what I'm doing. He simply chose his own way of defiance. And I come from a long military line. My grandpa fought in World War II. Great-grandfather fought in World War I. Great-great-grandfather fought in the Civil War for the North, thank God, because that'd be awkward.
The South will rise again.
But I just think it was interesting getting her perspective because I felt, of her generation, she's 85, that she would feel that this is disrespectful and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And she didn't feel that way at all. She felt that he has, being an American, he has a right to protest, and he's not harming anyone. And what I find, another thing I find interesting about this, like you mentioned earlier, Noobs, is this fake patriotism.
Yeah.
All these people coming out and yelling about Kaepernick, and I posed this question earlier on Twitter today. What have these people done recently to better our country? You know, we keep going to the military. Kaepernick wasn't intentionally disrespecting the military. In fact, the military fights to protect
those freedoms.
Those freedoms.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I don't. So I don't understand.
No, there's a huge major disconnect that people when they get all upset about it, they're not realizing that's like the big missing link in their thought processes. Is like it's the freedoms. It's not the flag. The flag in itself is just a representation of who we are.
Yeah.
But it's our freedoms that we're trying to protect. It's not some, you know, cloth and fabric.
And so often, like you said,
you know, if someone wants to burn, like, that's their prerogative.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I personally wouldn't do it just because I think it's a waste. And I think there's better ways to protest. But it's part of your First Amendment right to say whatever it is you want. And by being able to say whatever, that also means being able to not say anything.
Sure.
Or to sit down and to not salute, not hold your hand over.
The NBA season's right around the corner, and Carmelo Anthony's done a very good job of addressing these things as well, among other NBA players, you know, Chris Paul. I want to see what happens there. Is there going to be an NBA player that does the same thing? How are they going to handle that? Because we all know the NFL is a little stricter and a little more worried about their image. So I want to know what happens there.
A bunch of the guys, I know LeBron was wearing the I Can't Breathe t-shirt, yep. You know, and I thought that was huge. You know, I thought the ESPYs speech was a little forced.
Yeah,
to be honest
it,
with you.
It
came across contrived.
Agreed.
You know, and you know, I don't know, but it is the responsibility of professional athletes. I feel like, you know, if you want to say something, you've got the pulpit. People are going to listen to you. As far as Brady, I think he just had like one of those hats in his locker room, right? He didn't have a bunch of like.
He had a hat, and then he had I believe he had another poster.
Okay,
I could be wrong. I saw the hat for sure.
The hat
was
in there from even like last year.
Oh, okay. I was not aware of that.
I think what it was they just played golf together, Donald Trump was like trying to like basically say, "Yeah, Tom Brady's endorsing me."
Sure,
but Brady probably pretty much didn't want to have anything to do with it. From what I understood. Brady's not the kind of guy who's going to go out and like really take a he takes stands, but he's not going to like be like pro a political person, I don't think. One interesting thing, and I think this is a little off topic, but when it comes to people getting punished for like doing what they believe is right, Tom Brady recently came out and he's all into alternative medicine.
Yeah.
You know, he basically is into you know, Eastern stuff, and he's got this guru guy that, like, he takes these certain supplements, and, like, he doesn't drink Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Doesn't eat McDonald's, any of that stuff.
Doesn't even eat fruit.
No.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he, like, and so there's this, like, thing where he basically came out and said that Coca-Cola is poison, right? And I find it interesting that he gets, and it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you throw, like, a dime in there, and after, like, 24 hours, it's dissolved.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like acid, basically. It's like alien battery acid. Anyway,
yeah.
So he came out and said Coke was basically poison, and then he gets suspended for 4 games. Now, here comes Mr. Conspiracy Theory Guy.
Yeah, I love it.
But
I
it's like,
it. This is
where I go a little off the rails.
I was going to say, you're batting for Tom right now. You started bringing up Trump and Tom. You're like, this has got to stop.
I just don't really see him being like a big Trump guy. He's the kind of guy who would go golfing with Trump. I could see that just because they're both rich and you rub elbows with people and you do that. I mean, the Clintons were at Trump's wedding, so let's be real here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Rich people rub elbows with other rich people, and this is what happens. And
right.
So he probably gave him a hat. He stuck in his locker, probably didn't think about it. No, maybe he's a closet Trump guy. I don't know. But maybe...
it's time to clean out your closet,
but,
Tom.
You know, it's not really going to change my opinion of him too much, because for whatever reason, I think a lot of that stuff, building a wall, we all know that ain't going to happen. But getting back to the Coca-Cola thing, Brady came out and said that he doesn't believe in a lot of the Western medicine, and that Coca-Cola is poison, and that it is ridiculous for these athletes to basically come up in these superhuman great bodies and then turn around and sell crap to children.
Yeah.
Like selling McDonald's and Sprite to kids when you know darn well you didn't get to where you were by eating that crap.
Sure.
Come on, Larry and Michael, they were eating McDonald's all the time.
No,
right?
I know. That's what I'm saying. And I love Larry Joe Bird, and I love Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Don't get me wrong. I mean, those are two of my icons from the 80s and hoops. I mean, I love those two. Jordan, you know, after he got done playing, because I was a huge Celtics fan, it was pretty agonizing for a while. But, you know, but yeah, you just, so anyway, he talked about the hypocrisy of these guys turning around, selling this stuff to like millions of impressionable young kids. And then I think it's pretty funny that he gets suspended. It is almost like the corporate entities, because he's not a Peyton Manning. He's not a shill. He's not going to just get out there and sell whatever, you know, Papa John's, Budweiser, this.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, a corporate whore. For lack of a better word, can we say or? Anyway,
we are now.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of interesting when you like going on
there's
that
like
point.
Seven we can't say.
Yeah, but that's not one of them.
That's not one of them. No. Thank God. Anyway, to finish up the point real quick, they never really, still have really never given any good evidence with the deflated balls, and I just find it funny that the timing of it. It's almost like they got on the horn with Goodell and was like, he's got to sit for something. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Maybe it's completely unrelated. Maybe he really did deflate footballs, or maybe Goodell just really wanted him to sit four games, whatever. Some kind of retroactive Patriots punishment for Spygate or whatever. But Tom Brady is the kind of guy that's going to come out and say Coke is bad, McDonald's is bad. You shouldn't be giving that stuff to your kids. And anyway.
No, I was going to say, it's interesting. I mean, the topic you bring up is kind of an interesting one, too, of the big corporations. And I mean,
they
even after. Yeah, they do. And after. And we've allowed them to do that by giving corporations First Amendment rights, by allowing them to have that ability to say, this is, oh, you're working for us as our corporation, but you just did something we don't like. You might have, oh, well, I have freedom of speech. Oh, well, we have the freedom of speech as well, and we don't like what you're saying. You're defaming our corporation, so we can cut you. And there was already talk of, like, you know, Cap not being on the roster because of the situation, or maybe going to be losing endorsements, which is completely ridiculous because we continue to give that power to those corporations when we allow them to say our rights as corporations trump your rights as individuals.
Yeah.
And, I mean, one of the things that also kind of came back to me a little bit, the situation was the Hope Solo incident where she mouthed off against the Swedes and how they played in their final against them. And her words got her suspended from the USA soccer women's team.
Yeah.
She said that she called the Swedish women cowards for the way that they played, which, I mean, I didn't agree with her whatsoever. I thought she was completely wrong, but she has that. She's an athlete. She's in that sport. She played that game. She should be able to say that.
Yeah.
And when they said, oh, well, it's damaging to the reputation and it's not promoting the unity, well, what you're doing is you're taking all the rights away, that the rights that we take, so, you know, hold the truth that people have died for,
and saying
that, no, mine, our words as an entity, as a corporation that's not even a person, is just a figment of our imagination, pretty much, has more rights than you.
Yeah.
And that's something I think that this situation also kind of brings to light with a lot of responses that you are getting from the Colin Kaepernick situation.
Yeah. You know, I find that interesting as well, is how will the NFL react? How will his endorsements react? But what, beyond the action, what I find interesting is that's what seems to offend everyone, right? Is the fact that he sat during the national anthem.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is not a requirement by any measure in any league to have to stand.
It's, again, it's like we say it's out of respect, but again, we pretty much said you kind of have to.
It's kind of a brainwashing thing. Like,
no, it totally
is. Kids doing the Pledge of Allegiance,
and
all
it's
that.
It's mob mentality, too, because you don't want to be the only one sitting down and with 20,000 people or 50,000 people.
Right.
You know what I mean? So people, I see people do it all the time, and like, you know,
it's a very common thing, just in sports.
And
you're right.
I look around when I'm in a game, and I see sometimes people are standing, but they don't have their hand over their heart.
Yeah.
Whatever, maybe it's like a subtle thing that they're doing. A lot of people have a problem with some of the stuff that our country has done and is doing.
I mean, that's one thing, too.
And that's fine.
I mean, like the patriotism that
this
we were talking about before.
The love it or leave it thing is just mindless,
that's mindless
garbage, and it's it's blindly marching towards fascism.
And that's exactly what's behind this whole situation. I mean, love it or leave it.
I mean, you say that the fascism thing, I mean, as a correlation I bring up when I was thinking about it, granted slightly extreme, but I'm sure there were people in Nazi Germany at the time who weren't saluting Hitler, and they probably were looked down upon, like, how are you not doing that?
Right.
This is our country right now. How dare you?
Exactly.
And like, we're so small-minded in our in a way we think that we think, oh my gosh, he's not respecting our nation. When we look at a bigger picture, because we have that mentality, that patriotism, because we think as a country we're in the right. We always are, because we're Americans.
Right.
Well, everything that we do, we touch, is gold, and we're making the world a better place. But in reality, we've caused a lot of wars. We've caused a lot of death and destruction out there.
Absolutely.
And we have to realize that there's a bigger picture out there, and we're not just this great country. Our country with flaws. Yes, we've provided great opportunities, and people are able to thrive here. But that's not really the point he's going for. It's the fact that we are a great country because we're able to have acts like this. Right. We're able to bring up discussions. People are able to speak out against the injustices that this country performs.
And to that point, that's one thing I have not heard anyone bring up yet, is what Kaepernick said afterwards.
Yeah.
No one's really disagreed with him. Everyone just seems to be mad that he sat down. But
the
reason he sat is the meat of this entire issue.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that people are ignoring. It's the action of sitting, which is just ridiculous to me. My grandfather, again, he fought for this country in World War II, And then when he came back, he taught at Chico High. And while he was at Chico High, obviously, they did the Pledge of Allegiance. My grandmother was telling me the story last night that he had some Jehovah Witnesses in his class that wouldn't stand. And my grandfather said, I appreciate the fact that you guys, you know, have your own set of beliefs. And I appreciate the fact how you go about it, that you do it in a respectful manner. And that's what Cap did.
Yeah.
His action in itself was defiant, but it wasn't, in my opinion, bold-faced, disrespectful.
I mean, if he was, like, trying to play his own music over the national anthem, that's, like, maybe the disrespect kind of comes in there. But, again, right. It was a silent protest. He sat there and did nothing.
If he had his Beats by Dre's on and he was bobbing his yeah. head and dancing.
I'm the man.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And he was doing his own thing on the sideline and being a distraction.
Yeah.
That's one thing. That's not what we're talking about here. Colin Kaepernick is fed up with a system of injustice, and that's the core of the issue. It's not that he didn't stand. And that's where everyone's getting upset. And I for the life of me can't understand where it comes from. I don't understand, again, to this fake patriotism point. I'm not sure how that got ingrained in us so much. I guess as children, we're taught to salute the flag.
Yeah,
and
it's
this
indoctrination.
And
yeah. It's like you just said, every morning, I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Right.
And it's like, dude, like that is basically brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a kid do that every single day for like 18 years, you know what I mean? It's going to seep in there. You know what I mean? And it's little stuff. It's like right after 9/11, everybody's wearing flag pins on their lapels.
Oh, you're not wearing one.
I don't know if you guys have read 1984 by George Orwell.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like post 9/11, it was so Orwellian. It was scary. It was like mind crime. And if you even like said anything anti-American, it's like, you know, you get this whole idea of, well, then leave. You know, it's like, well, like we have terrorism because like, and I'm not saying I'm not in any way pro killing anyone or violence in any way.
Sure.
But we need to look.
Death to the law.
Well, no, but we need to look though at why it is that we're having a problem with certain areas and certain groups of people. They don't like America. And a lot of the things, they have legitimate reasons. We've gone into places and taken their people, their oil, their cadmium, their lithium. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Their money.
List goes on and on.
We've murdered them, dropped bombs recklessly on innocent women, children, and men. You know what I mean? And it's like, you have to understand, like, there was a reason why 9/11 happened. You know what I mean? Inside job or not, you know what I mean? Like, there's a legitimate gripe with America. And we don't ever look. We just look at, like, you know, how do we solve the problem instead of, like, looking at the real reason why there's a cancer. We're just wanting to, like, zap the cancer with radiation.
It's a basic psychological thing when you think about it. It's like the boogeyman growing up. The boogeyman's not there. But as long as food's on the table, he's going to exist because we're feeding you. Therefore, it's just basic psychological, you know.
Well, the military-industrial complex has to have us have an enemy.
Everyone needs
when the Soviet Union fell, I mean, we were in Iraq, like, 6 months after the Berlin Wall came down. You know what I mean? Maybe a year. You know what I mean? And the focus was not now on the Soviet Union. It was now on the Middle East.
Yeah.
And, you know, these despots, guys like Saddam Hussein. Now Hussein's gone. Gaddafi's gone. They're trying to get rid of Bashar al-Assad. And all that's happening when you take these guys out is you create a vacuum of power. And then the Sunni-Shiite fight that's been going on since, you know, Islam was created, 1400 years ago. I mean, those guys, they don't, within their own thing, kind of like Protestants and Catholics, they don't get along. And so we create this power vacuum, and then there's these radical fundamentalist terrorists, which there are those people. It's probably not as great a threat as we make it out to be. Like, if we just pulled back, if we got everybody out of the Middle East, all our soldiers, and we just said, you know what, we don't need the oil, we'll produce our own oil, we'll start driving electric cars, solar, wind, whatever. If we really started having like a green revolution here in this country, first of all, it would create millions of jobs. Second of all, it would get us out of all these places in which it's like creating more and more anti-Americanism and anti-Europeanism. And so we could pull back, get out of there, and let them do their thing and like have a more peaceful way of going about this. But the military-industrial complex will never have that. They're never going to do that.
Yeah.
War sells. They need to keep selling bombs. And as long as that's happening, to your point, Jaime, there's always going to be a boogeyman. And honestly, you think like ISIS would be able to like get over here and like attack us on like a full scale? No, it's going to be like a single person by person infiltration. And I'm not saying, you know, that we need to like stop having Muslims in this country? Absolutely not. This place is a melting pot, and that's what makes it beautiful. But what we do, instead of like screening all these people like what, like crazy, just not allowing them in, I think if we weren't over there in their holy land dropping bombs on them, I think give it 10, 20, 30 years and the anti-American sentiment around the world would start to
yeah, and you don't,
dissipate.
You don't need to look across the across seas to see a war. 455 people in Chicago alone have been killed this year.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade's cousin walking a stroller to an elementary school got shot in the head this past weekend. I mean, there's a war going on right here in the U.S., and this is what Kaepernick's speaking to. By the way, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. This is great timing. People-powered radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Derek, you got to read real quick?
We do, yeah.
We'll
talking
right
about
back to this.
Yeah, talking about practices made possible by all the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Buffalo Wild Wings, featuring 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with nonstop sports wings and more at 801 East Avenue. Open every day from 11 a.m. till midnight and beyond. More information at buffalowildwings.com. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Thank you, B-dubs.
And yeah, you guys want to start my car for me when we get out of here?
I'm on a bike.
I was just seeing. You want a little push? I can give you a push.
But so I think, you know, to kind of wrap things up here, I feel that this entire situation has been, as every situation now, in general, gets blown out of proportion because now everyone has a voice with social media. And it's been hard looking at my timelines today because people I respect, people I even love, are posting some things that I feel are really ignorant and just acting irrationally. And again, I pose the question to anyone who's going to throw away Kaepernick jersey or burn his jersey, which I've never understood burning jerseys. That's so dumb. You bought it.
I was going to say, that's a lot of money you put into it right there. Yeah.
But to my greater point is, what are you doing? This fake patriotism is such a joke to me because we are all selfish beings, right?
Yeah.
I went to work today. I didn't better mankind by any... I went to work so I could get paid, so I could buy things that I like and keep a roof over my head. This fake patriotism, everyone gets so offended, and it's like, okay, what about this country is so great to you then? What, you know, what are you doing to protect these liberties and freedoms that you're so offended that Kaepernick wouldn't stand up during the national anthem? What specifically are you doing then that is so much different? Right.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that happened was someone's pride got stepped on a little bit. You know, that's really like, if you can even say that right there, our pride was somehow tarnished, and that's only because we allowed it to get tarnished because we took that what the actions that he did but, somehow to heart, which is ridiculous. It's not that's a public space, and in a public forum, nasty things happen. You kind of have to get used to that. Your feelings shouldn't have to be our focal point.
All these people though who are like so like, oh, this is the greatest country, I love this country, and how dare you even, you know, degrade it and all this stuff. It's like, they're missing the point of like why it is that this country is so good. And I do believe that this country is capable of so many wonderful things.
Yes, of course.
But with that, there is, you know, our history is in our current situation. So there is things to be upset about, like you said, abroad and here at home. Like you said, with violence, civilian on civilian violence, cop on civilian violence. A lot of it we need to turn around. But to Derek's point, like these people who are like so blindly just saying, you know, well, you better step in line and love her to leave it, that kind of stuff. It's like, you're forgetting what the whole point of this country is.
Yeah.
You should just be like, you know what, I love this country. It's everybody's individual decision to say, you know what, I'm going to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to put my, you know what I mean? I'm not going to burn a flag. I'm going to, you know what I mean? But you have to, like, recognize and respect somebody else's decision within our American community,
whether you like it or not,
and for you to sit there and say, "Oh, well, you don't love and respect America. What's wrong with you?" It's like, actually, you can make an argument that he's loving and respecting America more. In his own way, maybe even more by exercising the very freedoms that we have fought and died for.
Yeah,
so true.
Great quote here in the article that goes just with what you're saying. Just as one can oppose the war in Afghanistan but respect Pat Tillman's decision to fight there, one can respect Kaepernick's much smaller sacrifice. The only way one can't is if one sees no nobility in his cause. And if someone struggles to see the merit in standing for the black and the brown people who have been continually mistreated in this country, perhaps it is that person's patriotism that should be questioned, not the man willing to stand before his country and take whatever comes next.
That's great.
And I just, Again, this article, I can't recommend it enough. It's on the Undefeated, Bomani Jones. You'll see it. Just Google it. You'll find it. But I think he nailed it right there. You know, this, the mere idea of being able to sit is because that's what this country is. Mm-hmm. We have these freedoms. We fought for these freedoms. And you were talking about pride earlier, and this, you know, people have all this pride in the flag, but to the greater point, isn't our pride isn't this piece of cloth. Our pride is who we are.
It should be more than that. It should be. Yeah, and yeah.
The flag's just a symbol, and symbols are only given meaning by people. It's just an idea, yeah. Right? And I think everyone, not everyone, obviously, because most of us in here are in agreement, but a lot of people seem to be really bent out of shape, and it seems to be misguided at best. I think moving forward, I hope that things change. Actually, I feel like Bomani Jones is a lot more articulate than any of us. So
how dare you?
Let's hear from him.
To me, Bomani is those that are pushing it aside and saying, I don't like the way he did it, so I'm not going to listen to what he said.
Yeah, but I keep asking all those people what way they would have preferred him to do it, and I ain't got an answer yet. Like, not a single one. We have to be honest about the people who are really locking in about the method that he used. None of them have an answer for what method it is that they would prefer. I think that most of those people are much more bothered by the message itself than anything else. No matter what he did, they probably would have found a way to say that they had some sort of problem with, quote unquote, the way that he went about doing this. Like, that's the dirty rhetorical trick in this is, well, I just didn't like the way that you said it. Again, I feel like it's very important for us to remember, we asked him about not standing for the national anthem. I got a column going up on the Undefeated today where I say that the statement was not in not standing for the anthem. Not standing for the anthem is actually a neutral act. Standing for the anthem is a statement. That doesn't mean that not standing is necessarily a statement. The statement was in his words, and I've heard a lot more about the anthem from people than I've heard about the words that he had to say, because I think that people actually want to avoid those.
So is that the issue that you're seeing here, or at least part of the issue that you're seeing here, is that there are people who are avoiding discussing the issue because they're making the issue the act of not standing during the anthem?
I think that that's a big part of it. I also think that people have a tendency in this country to cut check other people's patriotism, which is a lot of what this is right here. It's people, you know, this is the answers are all very easy, right? I think everybody knows what the right answers are. The military risked their lives for us. They died for us. All of these different things. This is everybody's answer. And how dare you disrespect the military? But these are the same people who ain't have too much to say when the NFL was charging the military millions of dollars to come on the field and to promote itself. Like, if you really want to talk about disrespect for the military, go see what happens to these dudes when they come home. Like, that's the most disrespectful thing we do as a society to the military. So I find it disingenuous for people to say you need to stand for the national anthem to show respect for the military, ignoring the plight that so many of our veterans deal with once they come back here. Like, if we want to have a discussion about that, then we'll really get to the bottom of something. But people like this one because it's much easier to do.
Yeah, it's lazy. I think you nailed it. It's easy to identify. It's easy to vilify the guy who doesn't fall in line with, you know.
Especially like the sports guy too. A lot of people
kind of have a certain view of athletes, kind of say, hey, you're getting paid millions of dollars. Why don't you just like kind of keep quiet and keep to yourself and not try to bring a big spotlight on yourself, because you already do that enough on the field. Why do you have to go for the social issues? But I mean, when you're in the present day that we are right now, where these guys do have this stance, it is imperative that they do make some social stances. Whether you agree with them or not, it keeps the conversation moving forward, and that's exactly what we really need to keep doing.
And that's, I couldn't agree with you more, Derek. The fact that we just spent 38 minutes talking about this, you know,
yeah,
people of all different colors in here too, you know, I think that's important, is that it progresses the conversation. And that's one thing that I feel this country has been missing, is moderate debate. I mean, you watch TV, they get one shouting head from the left, one shouting head from the right, and they let them go at it. And there's rarely anything intelligible in there. It's my set of beliefs are this, and the other person's set of beliefs are this, and we're just going to argue and never, you know, come right to any understanding. And that's what I think we're missing out on so much, and that's why I appreciate that we have this platform, that we could do what we're doing right now, is because we can talk about these things critically, and we all have our own set of beliefs, and I don't necessarily have to agree with you, and what is more American than that? you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We could sit here and openly have a conversation about race, about social classes, about Tom Brady and Coca-Cola and making America great again, and, you know.
That's what we're doing, yeah. He's making America great
again. Jones brings a great point, though, about when you talk about disrespecting the flag and how that relates to disrespecting the military, it's like somehow we've now, you know, those things are like synonymous.
Right.
You know, and it's like it's this guilt. And I said earlier about fake preachers, there's like this guilt thing where now you can't, like, God forbid you should question what's going on. You know what I mean? And it's like there's this thing now where people like will kind of protest the war, but then when soldiers come home, it's like, oh, thank you for your service, you know, and which is great because there's a lot of like good that's being done. There's a lot of people that are going into it for the right reasons.
Sure.
But there's also people that are killing babies and like doing things that they know aren't right. You know, you hear these stories about these guys who go off in the middle of the night and they'll like rape women and kill, you know what I mean? Like not like as a part of like an actual active firefight, but they're like going on their own and committing atrocities.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that's the entire military.
No, of course.
But like we have this like fear now, like as people, like if we don't respect the soldiers and we don't like basically kiss their behinds, then it's like you're unpatriotic, you're un-American, and you know what I mean? But it's like this slippery slope. Derek brought up Nazi Germany earlier in the discussion, and that's kind of how I feel like we're actually going. I hate to say it, but it's like there's this fear of like being able to speak your mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like you get behind the government, whether it's Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, whatever, because they're basically all the same. They're all tools of the. If you haven't been vetted by the military industrial complex, you ain't getting into the presidency. Okay, we had one who said he was going to blow up the CIA, and they put a bullet in his head. Okay, and since then we haven't really had a real president.
Yeah,
okay? That is my firm belief. And you know, I feel like we're just marching towards this blind Orwellian oligarchical fascism, you know, and it's a scary place. And, you know, it's just,
I mean, we say like, it's interesting. Like we always, the word patriotism is a word that we've been throwing around this entire conversation. It's interesting how, what is patriotism exactly? It's pretty much just another form of nationalism.
Right.
Yeah.
But we use it for America. Totally. No other country is patriotic in their own self. Like patriotic is like somehow like synonymous with like America.
Yeah.
And it's like the way we've kind of changed that word, like nationalism, that's kind of a scary thing. That leads to fascism.
That's a dirty word.
Yeah. But patriotism is completely different. We're totally fine with that.
Right.
But it's the exact same thing.
Yeah. It is.
It's a pride in your country that you take in. And we've, again, like I said, have this fake, stretched out, disproportionate view of our country, I feel, that we so easy to accept that term patriot. Oh, he's an ardent patriot. You know, he's fighting for our country and our beliefs. And it's just, it's just nationalism painted in red, white, and blue.
Absolutely.
That's a great way to put it. I mean, so many people will drape the flag around themselves and call themselves a patriot. And again, I ask, what are you doing to make this country a better place? Because
I look pretty in red.
I haven't got much of an answer. I've challenged a few people. Just curious, not saying you don't. Just a curious question. You know, if you're so offended, I want to know what you're doing day to day to be more of a patriot than Colin Kaepernick. Because again, in my opinion, there's nothing more patriotic than standing up for what you believe in.
And exercising your rights.
I love it. That's something lost. I mean, we don't see it anymore, and I've been so happy. I know we talked about, I think you mentioned earlier, Noobs, how the NBA player thing felt a little forced.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
during the ESPYs,
yeah, I get that. And this was more aggressive, and I loved it. You know, once I actually saw the video and the footage, I was like, wow, okay, looky Cap.
When you come in that, it wasn't like the ESPYs thing was a planned stage event where they had already scripted
it was
out.
Just prettier.
Well, his is like, this is my own accord. This is my personal stance right now, and I think that truly means something when you do that. It's just on my own. I don't need to bring attention to the self. I'll let the action speak for itself right there.
Right.
And he started, you know, this great conversation that we've been having for this entire weekend.
See, I love to point out, I don't like Cap as a professional athlete, but more so now than a person ever. More respect because of what he did. Because you can complain and argue about what he does on the field. That has nothing to do with who he is as a person. And that's came up with me in this situation.
You know, and Cap has a personal history with police officers. He's had a gun drawn on him. And I can tell you, from personal experience, I've had a gun drawn on me twice by police officers. It's a terrifying experience. And both times, just to clear the record, I was not arrested or found guilty of doing anything except being the wrong color, hanging out with people of the wrong color in the wrong neighborhood at the wrong time. But the point being is, Cap
that's,
has a
that's hit. Not a crime. That's not a crime. That's what's so messed up about it.
Right.
And that's the thing that guys have to deal with. And thank God I've never had to deal with that. But I have so much sympathy for millions of young black kids and Hispanic kids and probably even Asian kids.
Sure.
Who are just basically guilty for looking how they look.
Right.
What I mean? And Cap's got a lot of tattoos. What I mean? That probably doesn't help him.
Yeah.
But this is not a situation where we need to be telling our kids, well, don't get tattoos because you're going to look like a criminal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Freedom of expression is what's up. Cops need to understand about, and granted, there is probably certain areas where, maybe more crime happens, so they're a little more on their toes.
Yeah.
But there just seems to be this draw first, ask questions later kind of mentality. And I don't know if it's from a lack of training or that the police, some of the police officers aren't maybe mentally fit for the job.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Right.
If that's your first reaction is you see a 12-year-old kid in a park, you know what I mean? And you're not thinking maybe it's a, you know what I mean?
A BB gun.
Maybe it's a BB gun or a water pistol. And the first thing you do is both of you pull out your guns and put 8 bullets in this kid.
Right.
You know what I mean?
When it was I don't know if it was the police chief or someone high-ranking officer in the Baltimore police that came out after the Freddie Gray thing happened. And he said, he once questioned his boss, whoever he reports to. I don't know how all that works. But he questioned, why do we target these certain neighborhoods? Huh. We would find just as many drugs and just as many crimes if we went through suburban Baltimore. And he goes, because those people in suburban Baltimore can beat the charges. They have the financial resources. It's a numbers game.
Right.
And these injustices, there is a marginalized group of people. But I feel if you are a patriot, quote unquote, then these issues aren't a black or white issue. This is an issue that affects all of us and should be addressed that way, and I don't know.
I mean, it's a cultural thing at this point. It's really reached, more so than just racism. It is, from the get-go, there's a certain prejudice that's ingrained in all of us from, the moment we, start our infancy.
Mm-hmm.
There's great, studies done on kids of showing them,
gravitating towards each other.
Yeah, or giving them two babies, a white baby and a black baby, and then asking them a series of questions of who's the good person, who's the bad person, and very often the white baby is the good baby, mm-hmm. the black baby is the bad baby. And we have this certain, it's been ingrained that we're, a prejudice is bestowed upon all of us, and media has a lot to do with it from the way that blacks are portrayed in movies and in TV shows.
It starts in our books, in schools.
Yeah.
It's what we're showing. What we learn.
But that's a good point. It's something learned.
Yeah.
It's not instinctive. It's something that's learned at a young age, and then it becomes almost instinctive. It becomes so deep ingrained. We could probably do hours on this. I would like to get into something lighter.
That's why I love this topic coming in, but I feared this. This was going to be a whole different world.
Yeah.
Football's coming back, guys.
It is.
Hey, wow. Let's do it.
That was great, Thank you for spending that much time on it, because it's something that needs to be talked about.
Thank you, noobs.
And no, that was awesome. I loved everything you guys said. That was beautiful. Because, we can talk about who won the match.
Right.
Anytime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We get to do this every Monday. Anyway, so I thought that was great. I'm so glad that we spent 50 minutes on that.
And these are the things in sports that actually matter.
This is the cultural significance of what's going on. And there's so much more to and that's what we're trying to do here, I think, because if you want to know who won the game, there's millions of ways to go find that out.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You just turn on ESPN or whatever. And so this is great. I'm glad that we are.
And ultimately, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I mean,
the score of the game? No.
No.
But this does.
That's what I'm saying.
This does.
Awesome.
And,
absolutely.
Neil Brennan was recently on the Dan Le Batard show. I know I've told you this before, but he said, he's like, yeah, I read this headline. I just glanced down at my phone real quick, and it said Boston destroys L.A. I was like, holy, what? How did I not know about this? Boston attacked L.A.?
Civil War. Yeah. It's going down.
Patriots are coming.
Yeah, I just find it, I find this kind of stuff a lot more interesting to talk about than
taking that East-West rivalry to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Seriously. Speaking of rivalries, You want to talk about some Dodgers?
Yeah, I was going to say
stuff?
This.
That's going on. That's interesting.
I did mention it last week on the show how we had a pretty awesome opportunity last Thursday for Jerry Garcia night for you and I to get some media passes to be on the field.
Yes,
and,
thank you, Rick. That was
again,
the time of my life.
KZFR really is awesome for putting us through that.
Yeah, it was so cool. Like,
I mean,
the coolest.
Totally. Like I said, I'm a Dodger fan. I'm sure everyone knows that by now. And I was on AT&T Park, and it was the coolest thing I'd ever been in.
Yeah, like, it was so cool.
Yeah. Like, it's a whole new perspective. I mean, I was in awe the entire time.
Yep. Like,
yeah.
We didn't even.
we were
like kids. We were too. You could tell, like, we were looking at each other, and we're, like, trying to, you know, compress
awesome.
How we truly feel. Because I just wanted to run around.
Open every door. What's in here? Oh, what's in here?
Like, I wanted to, like, high-five the players, but I'm trying to be professional,
right,
you know?
That's awesome.
And it was almost overwhelming because, you know, I've been to AT&T Park 100-plus times in my life. I've been on the field once before, but it wasn't in a professional capacity. We didn't get to go watch batting practice. I mean, we were there.
Yeah.
And it was insane.
Yeah.
It was so cool. So thanks again. KZFR, you are the best. That was a real treat. And speaking of real treats, we have a really interesting
last month of the season coming up right now for us.
It matters for the Giants and the Dodgers going down the stretch here. The Dodgers currently, is it two games?
Two games up, right?
Yeah.
Two games up right now. We had a nice series against the Giants started this past week. We took 2 out of 3 from you guys in L.A.
2 out of 3 from the Cubs, too, right?
Yeah, 2 out of 3 of the Cubs as well this past weekend. So we maintained that two-game advantage, which is, I mean, it's going to make this last. We have 6 more games against each other. The LA Dodgers and Giants do, and we actually end the season up in SF.
And absolutely, if it comes down to that, we're going.
I was going to say, you're probably going to have. Yeah, I mean, that's a playoff game right there.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
I feel like the loser of that division is still going to get a wild card, though.
Most likely.
You
know?
There's a good chance. You definitely want to
avoid that game, that one-and-done situation where if you just go up against a hot pitcher, you're done.
Yeah.
But, no, it's going to be great. Can you tell me how they've done this? I mean, I look at that pitching staff, and I'm
weak. Honestly, like, there was probably like a week, like a 7-day straight where our starting pitcher went out for an injury in like the second or third inning.
I mean,
and every single time I was like, how are we doing? The Dodgers offense has been incredible.
Yeah.
In particular, Corey Seager, he's a rookie right now.
Don't talk to me about him.
And
I dropped him from my fantasy.
He is going off right now.
I actually traded him. I didn't drop him.
Okay.
I traded him for Jonathan Villar from
Milwaukee. Solid trade.
He was solid.
Yeah.
Great speed. Rounded out my team.
Oh, yeah.
But every time I see it, every time I look, it's like Corey Seager. It's a
double
home run.
Yeah.
Corey Seager, it's a home run. So, yeah, their offense is
spectacular. But I mean, the bullpen
is. What's up with the pitching, though? I mean,
the bullpen is something that's been holding it down, which has always been our weakest point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's better than what it was in years past. Our starting pitching is just ridiculous. It's shot to shreds right now.
Right.
We got Rich Hill back, though. So you saw Rich Hill pitch against the Giants the second game, which was, he looked actually really good. I liked what I saw out of him for his first start since mid-July or June, was it? He went out with blisters on his finger. I really don't know. It's spectacular. I love it. I'm hoping that there's still a chance of Kershaw coming back. It's all indefinite right now.
Yeah.
But if you get him back at that right time and he's feeling good and he's been resting up at this point in time. His arm is still pretty fresh, and he goes into the postseason dealing.
That could be huge.
He
was on. He was like on pace for a Cy Young.
I mean, his ERA was 1.76. His WHIP was 0.73 or 0.76. Was ridiculous.
I think he was leading the league in
both of those categories. His Ks per nines, walks per nine were so high. So
yeah, if you can get him back and get him in the number one spot in that rotation, man, that would be pretty dangerous.
Let's go. I'm ready. I mean, it's
this last month is going to be awesome.
It's going to be really intense.
I love it. I can't wait.
There's a lot of teams hovering right there too.
Yeah.
Miami, St. Louis. Yep. Pittsburgh's still alive.
Mets still have a chance, kind of. Yeah,
I like Miami, too. Yeah. I don't know what it is about that team.
Miami's a fun team.
Yeah, they're fun to watch. I really like that team.
They got good speed and like a lot of, you know, just kind of younger
Fernandez
guys.
Fernandez is a great pitcher. And obviously,
that guy's pretty phenomenal.
He's going to be something.
Yeah, all these teams are separated by like 3 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean,
it's great for the league, man. Yeah, October is always exciting.
The only thing that's not, none of the divisional races except for the West is close.
Yeah.
So you get, but still, you got.
I mean, other than the AL East, though, the AL East is still very much
right
up
now.
Near,
I just meant in the National League. Yeah. No, the AL East is phenomenal. That's, I mean, you got three powerhouse teams.
Yep.
And the Yankees aren't even one of them.
And
the Yankees
and they're all separated by three. Yeah. You know, Baltimore's three back. Boston's two. Toronto's obviously.
The Yankees, with all the trades they made, they're actually still alive. They're only like 4.5 out of the second wild card.
I mean, we have to give a quick shout out. Is it Gary Sanchez?
Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, their catcher.
He's
been having broke MLB records for most number of home runs in his first, 25 games, I think it was.
Yeah, it's insane.
He's been phenomenal.
Hey, guys, you guys excited for football? This is an honest question.
I'm stoked. I can't wait.
I don't want to say like I'm. I yes and no. Because like it brings about like a fun time, but it also brings about just. I mean, okay. I work at Bella's and it's a popular bar on Sundays. It just. I don't like the fans that come out.
Yeah, you have different feelings about it.
You're not being patriotic, Darren.
Come on, man.
It's football.
Like it or leave it, all right?
Like it or leave it.
There's nothing more patriotic than football. And so this is going to be the most unpatriotic thing I'll ever say on the airwaves. I'm almost indifferent. And you know me, Darren.
Yeah.
I get red zone every year. Like I have a tradition. I make carnitas at least once a month during on a Sunday. Like, it's huge for me. Last year was really boring. I mean, how many regular season games can you guys remember?
Well, I mean, it's I had a great run. The Carolina Panthers did. Fan. So, like, yeah, when your team's really on it. But no, other than
I'm
that.
About memorable games in the regular season.
I don't think you could really look at that.
It was terrible football. The product has suffered the last few years, and it's been worse and worse.
You know what I'm excited
about? The officiating's terrible.
The officiating's terrible. The rules need... I still have no idea what a catch is.
What's the catch?
Yeah.
No one knows.
Yeah. You can get up on 2 feet and then fall back down again, and then it's not a catch somehow.
Right.
It's
like, whatever happened to like the ground's not able to cause fumbles, but like somehow now can somehow when you're not catching it. Like, oh,
you know what? I think I remember a lot of that last year when we covered that.
There was a lot of
questionable things happening.
It just wasn't fun, and the product itself, which is usually can withstand all this, wasn't very good. I mean, I remember a few years ago there was a lot of good regular season games. I remember that Niners Patriot. I think it was a Monday night game or a Sunday night game.
That game was phenomenal.
That game was insane, and then it started raining.
The Pats were down like 31 points.
Came back, still lost. Yeah,
and that was a phenomenal game.
That was great, and we had games like that during the regular season.
That's when Cap was his full physical powers.
Yeah, he was a superhero.
That was also like when Green Bay was up there. Wasn't that Green Bay and New England game also during that season, or was that?
It couldn't have been because they were playing the West that year.
Okay, yeah.
But I do remember like an epic primetime Green Bay game that same year, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like Green Bay, San Francisco, New England, Baltimore, and like the Giants were like the best teams.
Well, we got the Raiders. Raiders football might be back, right? We got
that going on. The West is open.
AFC West is interesting. There's some interesting headlines. Yeah. My greater point is, for the first time in my life, I'm still getting red zone.
I'm with you though. I'm still in full baseball mode.
Yeah,
like I don't think I'm going to be fully invested in football until the World Series is over. Where I never used to be that way. I used to be like week one, okay, let's go.
Same.
You know what I mean? And I still like to throw a little money on the games every once in a while.
Well,
so
maybe
I'm still going to be like,
gotta get some action.
I'm still gotta get my action. You know what I mean? But I'll be engaged, but. My overall, and you guys know this, I mean, Jake and I sat out even covering it.
Yeah.
What was that, last year? So, like, you know that just my overall interest is definitely down.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? And I couldn't agree more. The product has just not been as good. And, I mean, besides all the off-the-field stuff, the Tom Brady thing last year was a joke.
Oh,
and
that
now
was stupid.
It's still going on, which is insane to me. It's all this stupid minutia. And then you don't put out a good product. Like, it's just much frustrating.
My favorite situation might be the Tony Romo injury and Dak Prescott being very exciting in the preseason. I know it's just
preseason.
They're
going to run the wishbone. They got to, right?
Yeah.
The Cowboys can run the ball.
They
can
run.
That's one thing. We know they can run the ball. So I would run 50 times a game and pass six. You know, zig when everyone else is zagging.
And I know it's America's team and all, and I'm not, you know, on the wagon or anything, but I'm excited to
love
see.
Love it or leave it, bro.
Topic of the day, right?
Also, one of the things I'm not looking forward to, I'm really just going to say, I'm over fantasy football so much. I'm really dreading it.
I might sit this year out.
I'm commissioning.
Play fantasy baseball.
I never have, and I will not, because I know that if I hate what goes into fantasy football, I would think I'd shoot myself in fantasy baseball.
No, but it's so much better because you're involved like day to day. You know what I mean?
See, but that's some people's issue with it in general.
Yeah, but
like,
see, the thing I don't like about fantasy football is because it's like, I spend way too much time thinking about something that only happens really like once a week.
That's true. You analyze it. You go, he's going out.
You overanalyze. Where in baseball, it's more of a minute to minute. You're like, okay, I need a starting pitcher today. Or, okay, my outfielder's not starting. Do I go ahead and pick up a guy or just leave that slot empty? Because sometimes you'll pick a guy up and go 0-4.
Yeah.
It just kills your batting average. So sometimes you don't want to have all nine guys starting.
You see, that's where there's a lot more to think. Yeah.
It's checkers versus chess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And my emotional involvement, plus how much I know baseball now, how much I know the league and know the players, it's like, it's the best thing for me as far as my baseball acumen and my just overall pleasure and enjoyment of the game. Football, I just feel like it's like, you know, after the, you know, I don't want to think about it for 3 days.
Yeah.
Three, 4 days. And I wound up doing it. So anyway, give baseball a try next year. Right, I'm telling you.
I'll take your word on it.
It's a lot of fun.
And if you don't,